Buongiorno, my name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Welcome. This is Jordan Rich, a great friend of Lauren and Reno. And on today's podcast, we're going to focus on one specific city, an amazing place, as you'll find out, a city called Bologna. And to kick things off, Lauren, I understand Bologna has more than one nickname.
It does have some nicknames. It's called La Città Grass because it's the fat city. It's home of the gastronomic. It's Italy's gastronomic center. It's also called La Dotta, the learned one, because it's home to the first university ever, dating back to 1088, the University of Bologna, still in operation.
Wow. And in the world, right? This is not just in Europe. This is anywhere.
Right, in the world. And it's also called La Città La Rosa. La Città La Rosa, the red one because of its red rooftops.
Now, Reno's here, and he's more comfortable speaking in Italian, and quite frankly, I love to hear him speak Italian. And Lauren, his beautiful wife, you're going to translate. So, Reno, the question for you is, how would you describe Bologna? What makes it special in terms of its look and the structures of the buildings and the size and so forth? Just a brief overview, and you can do it in Italian.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, everybody. I prefer to speak Italian. Okay, anyway. Niente, Bologna per me è una delle città più belle d'Italia, perché in Bologna fondamentalmente c'è una grande cultura, ha una grande storia, ha una grande passione. La gente è molto appassionata per il food, per la moda. Soprattutto mi piace molto Bologna perché ci sono molti appassionati di motocicletta e di auto. Diciamo che è il cuore dell'Italia dove esistono queste combinazioni. Moda, cibo e motori. E bella gente.
He loves Bologna because it's a smaller city. It's encased with beautiful medieval walls, so there's no cars inside. And it's the perfect mix of food, fashion, and Italian sports cars. Culture, a deep story, and the people are like Neapolitan people. They're warm, they're loving, they welcome you, they embrace you, and the food is just amazing. Think Parmigiano cheese, balsamico, tortellini, tortelloni, the bolognese sauce, lasagna bolognese, mortadella, Parmigiano, prosciutto.
Vino,
of course. Balsamico.
Wow.
E poi aggiungere, perché soprattutto Bologna e i bolognesi li amo, perché sono un po' come noi napoletani, sono caldi, appassionati, cordiali, sempre gentili. Io, ecco, insieme a mia moglie sono anni che si va a Bologna, non ho mai visto un bolognese arrabbiato, sempre tutti gentili, cordiali. E questo fa la differenza.
Again, Reno's enforcing that Bolognese people are just like Neapolitans. They're welcoming, they're passionate, they're proud of their food culture. He said, we go once, twice a year, of course, for the chocolate festival, the truffle festival in October. And all the times we've visited, probably over 15 years, he's never seen an angry Bolognese person. You know, they're easygoing. Exactly. The Piazza Maggiore is the center of life. It's a political platform. The Bolognese people have courage in protesting their their opinions. The piazza is also always a musical stage.
Lucio Dalla, famosa anche per questo grande cantautore che è morto un po' di anni fa, Lucio Dalla. Sì, sì,
a
sì.
Very famous Neapolitan singer.
Bolognese.
Bolognese, he's from Bologna. The students, the young mamas strolling their baby carries across the Piazza Maggiore. Tourists, Bologna has this easygoing, no rush, no stress way of life. The Piazza Maggiore was built in the 13th century. It's the center of Bolognese life. There's the Neptune's fountain.
La fontana di Nettuno.
Holding a trident, so he sort of protects the city. Again, it's always lively, winter, spring, summer, fall. Bologna is also a UNESCO World Heritage Site, which makes it very important to have that accolade.
Certo, ecco, Bologna si distingue per queste caratteristiche. È una città, ecco, piena di risorse, sia naturali che personale, piena di storia e con tante belle opportunità, ecco, bella gente. Vai lì, senti proprio, ecco, l'armonia della città calda, della città, ecco, che ti rende felice, ti rende appagato.
What Reno is saying is that the Piazza Bologna, when you step into it, it's like an old-fashioned storybook filled with everything, the bell tower, the surrounding medieval buildings. It has 60 miles of portici, which are coverings like arcades. So on rainy days, you're never wet in Bologna. You can visit the wine bars, the restaurants, the, you know, cold cut shops where you can, the cold cut shops are very interesting because you can slip in and you're surrounded and sitting in a marketplace where lunch is served. So it's a really cool place to visit in that sense. It's also a city that's been strong throughout history. The Basilica of St. Petronio sits right in Piazza Maggiore. Its construction began in 1390, and it was never completed because the sovereign popes of Rome of that time didn't want it to be bigger than St. Pietro's in Rome. So it remains unfinished, a very interesting fact. It's built in Gothic style, but the most interesting part of this church is it's home to the largest calendar in the world, built by Pope Gregorio XIII, and it spans 270 feet along the floor. So, Jordan, it's interesting. You have to visit. Yeah, you walk
really
into
beautiful.
The church every single day at 12 o'clock or 1 p.m., depending on daylight savings time. The sun crosses over the roof of the basilica from east to west. And through this hole, you can tell the month and the day.
Reno, you mentioned in Italian, of course, the sports cars. And Ferrari is a big movie around the world right now. You love sports cars, don't you? And what's special about Bologna and the sports cars and the cool Italian vehicles?
Ma Jordan, in Bologna portano avanti, ecco, il marchio italiano. Cioè vedi molte Ferrari, molte Lamborghini, soprattutto molte moto, perché ecco, vicino a Bologna c'è la famosa fabbrica della Ducati a Borgo Panigale, e quindi tutto il mondo dei motociclisti hanno come meta fondamentale Bologna, e quindi ogni anno ci sono questi eventi sportivi strepitosi, sì, molto emozionante.
Reno loves Bologna because of the fast, you know, it's slow food, fast cars. It's home of Ducati, the Ducati Museum, the Ducati manufacturer. It's home just outside of Bologna, the Ferrari factory, the Ferrari history. You can drive a Ferrari when you go to the Ferrari Museum. And it's really a center of where all these motorcyclists come together and they go see their races every year with Valentino Rossi, but they also love Italian motorcycle moda, the leather jackets, the hats, the t-shirts, the boots. It's really a cult, a nice cult, because they're real athletes on these motorcycles.
Cioè, sì, è vero, c'è molto competizione. Vicino a Bologna, cioè diciamo tra Bologna, Modona e nella provincia di Milano, è il triangolo degli appassionati Lì trovi a Modena, trovi il museo Ferrari con la sua fabbrica, trovi vicino il museo della Lamborghini. Ecco, è il cuore dell'Italia, è lì dove si concentra il cuore dello sport italiano che è famoso nel mondo.
It's the heart of the passionate fans and people that adore Ferrari, Lamborghini, Ducati. The Ferrari Museum is beautiful. It takes you through the history of the Ferrari with endless cars and descriptions, and it's just a fun, interesting place, whether you love cars or not. And there's a great coffee and wine bar at the end, which makes it really fun too. And then you can drive a Ferrari.
A dire la verità, voglio andare a vivere a Bologna, Jordan.
He said to tell you the truth, he'd like to go live in Bologna.
I get that feeling. Reno's a big fan. Let's go back to the food, because you got us all excited when you started mentioning some of the Bologna treats that are so well known around the world. Talk about the restaurant scene. I mean, is it casual outdoor dining? Is there fine dining? Is it a mix? Tell us about that.
There is a mix. Predominantly, the restaurants in Bologna are owned by families that have been carrying on for three and four generations. They're traditional trattorias. There's a couple of Michelin star, one is even in the countryside, but they love tradition. They love the plates that have been satisfying themselves and others, for centuries. They're so passionate about food that they have a San Petronio Saints Day where the best chefs come out and make pasta tortellini, and then everybody tastes them and votes on them. And it's all centered around their favorite saint, Saint Petronio, the famous church that's in the piazza, which links me to also right off of the Piazza Maggiore, there are marketplaces that for thousands of years these merchants have continued within the same families under the merchant guilds. So the streets themselves are named, Reno, you can help me out here. The Fishmonger Street, Via di
Via delle pescherie, Via delle pescherie.
Pescheria, which means the streets of the fishermen. The streets were named after the guilds so that people would always remember the guilds. So right now, today, this area is abundant with all little shops that sell everything from cheese, prosciutto, mortadella, fruits and vegetables, balsamico, to carry on these guilds and the families that continue
La tradizione.
the tradition. Nothing changes in Bologna in terms of.
You know, in previous podcasts, Lauren and Reno, we've talked about pastry and bakeries and so forth, and it seems like so many parts of Italy have their unique festive baked good. And for instance, I was in Sicily not too long ago, and the home of the cannolo, and I loved it. Is there a particular baked good that is very famous coming from Bologna?
There is. It's called raviola con la mostarda, and it is a short pastry crust, crescent-shaped, sweet. It's dusted with confectionery sugar. It looks like a little half-moon ravioli, but they're very traditional. It literally translates to ravioli with mustard, but it's a sweet treat. Of course, Bologna has their famous rice pie, similar pastiera. They have panettone. They're very famous for chestnuts of all kind.
What about wine? You mentioned vino. Let's talk a little bit about that. The wine from the Bologna area must have certain special qualities. Reno?
Sì,
Sangiovese.
Bologna è famoso per il Sangiovese, che è un vino tradizionale regionale, insomma, della città di Bologna, che è famoso nel mondo. In ogni regione noi abbiamo i vini tipici, i nostri vini regionali, come a Napoli, nella provincia di Napoli, c'è il Taurasil, insomma, l'Aglianico, e lì a Bologna c'è il Sangiovese, come in Piemonte c'è il Barbera. In ogni regione abbiamo i nostri vini.
Reno said Bologna is very famous for the Sangiovese, 100% Sangiovese, 100% the Sangiovese grape. It's also famous for Pignoletto, a white sparkling wine, which is very delicious, similar to Prosecco, but it's not Prosecco because it doesn't come from the Veneto region. And when you go out for an aperitivo in Bologna, which is very famous, the bars are brimming with, you know, wheels of Parmesan cheese, and they sort of break it apart, little wraps and rosettes of mortadella, salmon on toast points, green olives, but they serve different kinds of pignoletta.
A lot of people are hearing this podcast as they do, and they're thinking, wow, I should put Bologna on my list. Lauren and Reno, is that a fair assessment? Should they consider spending more than a day or two in Bologna?
Sì, io ecco consiglio di stare lì minimo 4-5 giorni, perché Bologna, ecco, c'è tanto da vedere, tanto da visitare, piena di storie, piena di ristoranti, piena di locali. Sì, sì, sì.
Reno agrees that you should stay there a minimum of a week because it's loaded with interesting museums, music venues, food, restaurants, shopping, and it's really full of story. Also, it's a great base to visit Modena, Parma, the hills of Bologna that are very interesting with agriturismo, where you can, you know, in our tour we have a full day tour to an artisan Parmesan maker, where you visit the site, you see how Parmesan cheese is made. It's fascinating because they're made in giant rounds, and the men in the cheese maker place, they're almost like horse whisperers. Each day they have to go up and down these aisles of very tall aisles where rounds of cheese are, and they have to polish them, they have to turn them, and they have to tap them with a hammer to make sure they're hearing the aged cheese.
Yeah.
To make sure they're hearing that the Parmesan is aging correctly. If it's not, it gets taken out and it can't be stamped as a Doc Parmigiano.
And I imagine this is the kind of thing that's been going on for decades and decades, maybe centuries, this kind of craftsmanship.
Exactly. And then we also visit a very interesting family that makes the balsamic. It's not the kind of balsamic that you would see on the shops in Stop and Shop or Trader Joe's. This balsamico is made with the very ending of a grape pressing. It's put in barrels. It's so traditional and historical that when a boy is born in the family, a barrel is given to him as a very treasured gift. And the process of balsamico is, it's a long process. So really good balsamico is very pungent, it's dark, it's thick, and it costs a lot.
And Lauren and Reno, talk a little bit about the two leaning towers. We all know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but there are two leaning towers in Bologna?
Yes, there are two left. They are the symbol of Bologna. They're set right in its center. It's the first one is Degli Arcinelli. It's a tower boasting over 498 steps leading up to the top, where you can have a 360-degree view over the rooftops of Bologna. And then there is the
Garisenda.
It's the shorter tower. It's certainly a beauty. It's not open to the public. And it actually leans more than the Tower of Pisa. Mm. Both these towers were built in 1109 as a military function and to symbolize the strength of Bologna during that time.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Jordan, during the Middle Ages, Bologna had over 140 towers overlooking the area, like private castles. And each tower, depending on its height, was a sign of the family's wealth and nobility.
That is fascinating. That is really amazing. You also have a particular fondness for the city, I believe, Lauren, because something very special was purchased in Bologna. Tell us that story.
It's an interesting story. Many years ago, before I met Reno, I was on a food tripping tour with Todd English and WGBH. And Bologna gave us a budget to do everything with Todd English and to promote the city, because it's not a Florence, it's not a Rome, but it is loaded with interesting food and history and story, as we said. So after a week of filming and working and riding around in a Ferrari with the film crew, we landed back in the center. And I turned and I saw this little shop right where all the gilded shops are. And I said, oh my God, if I ever get married one day, I would want to have a wedding dress just like that.
The store is called Sposa di Joe. So fast forward 10 years, and it's the end of the summer, and Reno and I are getting married. And after endless books of wedding dresses, I picked up the last one and I saw this dress, and all it was a dress with a website. And I said, "That's my kind of wedding gown. Reno, let's call." So he called and they said, No, we're closed for 6 weeks. It's Ferragosta, it's August, everyone's on summer holiday." And I insisted, and finally the lady said, "Okay, come in September, because it's Sposa di Joe, they make your wedding gowns for you. Each one is tailor-made." So we go to Bologna and we find the address the night before, and lo and behold, we're right in front of Sposa di Joe, the place that I saw.
How romantic. Very nice story. Wow. That, no wonder Bologna means so much to you in so many ways.
Also, one other thing that's interesting in Bologna too, Jordan, aside from the pasta and the lasagna, the bolognese pasta is made with green leaves of pasta that have been made with spinach, is the chocolate. And one of the oldest chocolate makers there is Maiani. It's a treasure shop of delicious chocolates. The two women there have been there for years. You enter, they have white gloves. They take your little chocolates and they make chocolate and white chocolate, tortellini stuffed with a cream, a sweet cream. So our wedding even had a tortellini bar with chocolates from
Bologna. That
Bologna.
is so cool. Italy has so much to offer with so many different cities, but I think you guys have done an amazing job of showcasing this incredibly historic and gastronomically delightful place.
It's really special. It's intellectual. Every piazza has a statue dedicated to the famous poets and the scientists and the engineers that work there. It also has a little bit of an influence of Paris because Napoleon lived there once. So its streets and its intellectual depth is just incredible. Bookshops and coffee shops and wine bars,
Elegant, elegant.
elegance.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful city.
I think it may be one of your favorite places, Reno.
Maybe, yeah. I love Bologna.
Andiamo a Bologna insieme. Let's go to Bologna, everyone together.
Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.